Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey.
What's up with that? Hey.
Hey. I'm just ready to dive in.
Yeah, me too. So, WTFers, well, it's been a while since I used that name. Our listeners, WTFers, we are covering 90 Day Fiancé Season 10, Episode 18. This is the last episode, I believe, before the tell-all next week, which I'm so looking forward to. It's appropriately called Happily Ever Afters. So, shall we get started?
Let's dive in.
All right. Well, I'm glad that there is no Jasmine and Gino this week.
Yeah, that was great.
That we get a break from them. But we do have Clayton and Annalie. And Lon, you are right. Annalie did walk down the aisle. What do you think of their ceremony?
So I wrote some notes about it, but at the same time, I don't want to seem like I'm like shaming anybody on their budgets and things like that. So I don't want to come off that way. I'm just making traditional comparisons is all I'm doing.
Okay.
Obviously, no shame. I think he should have wore a tie. why are you not wearing a tie to your wedding? come on, dude. What, you know what I mean? And another thing I did notice was the reception. Again, I'm not shaming, just comparisons here. The reception was at a basketball court in a...
You mean like a school gym?
It was like a school gym. Yeah.
I call that the school assembly hall. You know, back in Singapore, that's where all of us gather in the morning.
Rallies. Yeah. And things. Yeah. Exactly. It's assembly hall. You're right. Yeah. It's an assembly hall. And again, like, no shame. Like, I'm all for saving money, really. And if you can get your wedding, you know, under a certain budget, that's great. I just realized there was a basketball hoop behind their dinner table. And for me, you can grab a tie. $12. You can get a tie and wear a tie.
You can get a clip on.
Make the pictures look good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm happy for them. She looks happy. Obviously, the bigger news is that she wanted to tell her dad, which I completely forgot about. Mm-hmm. When she made the phone call to her mom, I guess for some reason I had assumed that the parents knew. And then she's like, oh, I want to do this for you. And I'm like, what does she want to? Oh, wait, the dad still doesn't know? And then you're going to say boyfriend and then we're married? That's not a good look. You know, and he's over here going, oh, that's not the reaction that I was hoping to get. That's the only reaction you're going to get. Mm. Like, it's a surprise. He had no idea. There isn't going to be another reaction other than, like, you know, speechlessness, disappointment. There's a lot this guy's going through. So for him to walk off the camera, I thought was like, yeah, that's completely called for. But I'm happy that she's at peace, for sure. I think a huge weight, which what she was trying to express, right, was now I don't have this huge weight on my shoulders of like keeping it a secret from him. But yeah, I'm happy for them. I do hope that he can get over his jealousy, that he matures a little bit. We're just going to wait to see what happens with her relationship with her family now from this point on.
You know what that reminds me of, Lon? it reminds me of when Thais had to tell her dad, right? It has a bit of similarities there. Like the dad is not aware that Thais was there to get married.
They eloped.
Yeah, they totally eloped in the dad's eyes, I would say, right? Because
but the dad was aware that she had a boyfriend, just not...
Yes.
Right, just that, not that they were getting married.
Thais's dad thought that she went to the U.S. for vacation, not knowing that he's missing out on a wedding. So when this happened with Annalie and her dad, it just reminded me, I had a flashback, reminded me of Thais's own experience with her dad. But I'm glad you pointed out the the very frugal wedding ceremony they had, because someone on Reddit made a comparison between theirs and Rob and Sophie. And it's like, listen to this, right? So Rob and Sophie, Rob has no job or a decent place, right? But they had a beautiful and quaint wedding. You know, it was a nice beach wedding. I think it was Rob's idea to have a sunset wedding. The guests looked like they genuinely know the couple. They were not extras, I bet. They really know the couple. They were very well dressed, including his best men. I believe I saw a wedding photographer. And obviously, Rob and Sophie dressed up for their beach wedding. Meanwhile, for Clayton and Annalie, Clayton has a good job. I think he's in security, if I'm not wrong. He's in tech, right? He has a home. But they chose to do their wedding in a school gymnasium.
Right.
Or at assembly least a reception. Hall. Yes, assembly hall. With very limited or, you know, what looks like cheap decoration. I guess there wasn't any photographer from what we can tell. The guests and even the groom were not dressed well. Like you said, no tie. The guests, I think we talked about the guests during our last recording where they look so casual. Some of them were wearing Hawaiian shirt. I think someone suspect that they were actually extras because didn't Clayton say he has no friends? But someone also said that it may have been Brandy or family friends, right? But the fact that these look like a random bunch of people, like...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, there was a guy in there with like a ball cap or whatever, like a hat.
Yeah, like, I guess no one cares for the occasion.
And we're filming. Does anyone want to? We got extra spots here. I mean, you got chairs to fill, you know?
And also, it seems like there wasn't anyone doing Annalie's hair and makeup. She was doing it all by herself. And I think she even needed help to zip up her dress, which I'm glad that there was actually someone there, but it doesn't look like that someone was helping her with the hair and makeup. Maybe I could be wrong. It just seems like quite a contrast. And like you said, maybe they didn't want to spend the money, which I respect. I know for myself, we didn't blow our budget for the wedding. We just wanted something small. So understandably, maybe Clayton wants to maybe save for their honeymoon or save for a bigger house, hopefully, where his mom doesn't have to live in a closet. But right. I think my only call out is that I wasn't sure who walked her down the aisle until someone pointed out that it was actually, or it is actually, Clayton's dad.
Mm.
So I'm guessing he and the mom's no longer together. Also, I do want to point out that the vows, you know, I give kudos to Clayton for saying his vows in Spanish. I thought that was very romantic. Also, the wedding dance was very romantic. Like, if he didn't exhibit all those behavior prior to this episode, like, if I were to watch this season backwards, I would think that Clayton is the most romantic guy. Right? Because he took the time to learn his partner's language. He speaks it fluently, which is great for him. And the wedding ceremony looks very decent. And the fact that he, you know, was very thoughtful and he did the Peruvian dance.
The Peruvian dance, right.
Yeah. I thought that was very romantic. Of course,
super respectful of the culture. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that about him for sure.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say. And I think it was kind of tragic that she had to reveal to her dad that way, and the dad walked away from the Zoom, I guess, or the video conference, and that was definitely heartbreaking. And I'm guessing
was that
they'll
the mom? Sorry.
The mom then came into the video and said, "Hey, your dad's upset.
Right.
I'll have to end this." Yeah.
Speaking of moms, it looked like towards the end, Clayton's mom was like, I need a space of my own and they're going to be okay. It looked like, right, that she was open or like eager for them to carve out their own chapters and start their own lives, and that she was done. She was like, yeah. So the sister's concerns about, oh, she's not going to let him go, or, you know. Yeah, so that was kind of, I guess, ending on a happier note. But
I feel like they revealed too much about how the drama was actually contrived, because it just seems like Brandy got on fine with Annalie and the mom wasn't as clingy as we thought she would be, or was actually understanding. So like, I think it was just probably bad acting, or maybe it was great acting, because they had us believe that, you know, they had this family drama, but it just doesn't seem like it. So,
right.
Speaking of moms, it's so funny how Claire, Sophie's mom, didn't want to let her go after the ceremony was over. In fact, she said, don't consummate the marriage.
Yeah.
That was funny. But what do you think of Rob and Sophie's wedding ceremony?
It was nice. I think Sophie looked great. I really love kind of that, I don't know, it gives me hippie vibes, which I like the flower crown, you know, with the wedding dress. It was on a beach. And, you know, shout out to you and Manny. Like, it brought me back to you and Manny's wedding. I was like, oh, like, I remember when Nadia and Manny got married. And yeah, it was really nice to have it, you know, have it on the beach. I think Rob looked great. You know, obviously it wasn't a full-on tux, but I dig the whole bow tie suspenders kind of look. Yeah, they looked really good. And like you said, the wedding guests were all there. They were dressed. And even though they were going to be sitting in sand, they were still dressed to the nines. Like, they were ready for photos. It was really nice. And, you know, to your point, like, I think Sophie's mom, Claire, was the one making it awkward. There were times in there when she's like, yeah, ha, 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 you know, don't comment. And, you know, and she's like, oh, shut up. Like, get out of here. You know, it was just like really odd. And the amount of crying she was doing. And I know she was trying to explain how she was feeling. And it kind of almost stole the spotlight a little bit. Just how emotional she was and how she was like, it's always just been me and her. And I don't want to let her go. I don't want to share her and all this. It was really, really stealing the moment for me,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
And just how emotional she got. And even when she was like, come on, let's, you know, and trying to act, it very much seemed inauthentic. How she was like, yeah, get together and guys, let's take pictures together and stuff. I was like, oh, I can tell, like, you're not happy for them and you're not happy about this. I think you're happy that your daughter's happy, but at the same time, you're not happy, happy. And for some reason, that really, for me, detracted a little bit, just because they really emphasized how she was really torn apart by, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. The way I see it is, it's a mom that just doesn't want to let her daughter go because, you know, it's been them all these times. And then now, you know, she's finally realizing how she has to give her up. And she has this new life, starting this new chapter with a guy across the pond. She won't be seeing Sophie a lot. I can see how she kind of maybe was freaking out, but in a kind of like happy, sad type of way. So I do want to point out that based on Sophie's Instagram post recently, she posted a picture of this wedding ceremony that we saw on TV, but she said that she's been waiting for 2 years to post this. So this happened 2 years ago, you guys.
What?
Yeah, I think they filmed them maybe a while back. And wow, by the time they include this couple in the season of 90 Day Fiancé, it's been 2 years, so Sophie is probably 25 years old now, or maybe 26, wow. I'm not sure, but
I guess I can see that happening. They film it, And then it takes a year to maybe produce, figure out the storylines, do the editing and all that. I could kind of see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, who in the right mind would open a champagne above their crotch? Sorry, I just had to do that there. I'm pretty sure that was an accident, okay? But he just looked like he has never opened a champagne bottle before, which I don't believe. But anyway, I do have to say also, and Lan, keep me honest, I see the similarities. Like, my wedding with my husband is also somewhere near Santa Barbara. But I thought the beach that we went to was so much better.
Yeah.
Right?
Higher cliffs, too.
Yeah.
Oh, by the cliffs over there, I was like, that's not a cliff.
It's okay. More private. Like, this seems more open. Like, I feel like
For sure.
Yeah, this one seems
more people
open.
People playing volleyball in the background. Something, yeah.
Yeah. But I have to say, in terms of, like, the wedding getup, Rob and Sophie obviously win hands down for me, because I think what they wore was more appropriate for a beach wedding than what I and my husband wore. I know we wanted a beach wedding, but we just didn't want to underdress or dress for the beach wedding. We just decided, okay, like, my husband rented a tux, whereas Rob was wearing what, like a shirt and a suspender and pants, right?
Right.
Which, yeah, I think is appropriate. He had the bow tie to make it a bit more formal. And I thought that was cute.
Yeah, he looked nice. They both looked really nice.
Yeah.
They both looked really nice. I think they're going to get great pictures out of it for sure. Mm-hmm. The guests were dressed nice. It was on the beach. Kudos to his sister. We got to give props to her for setting that up.
Yeah. So we met the sister and the mom, right?
The unsung heroes. Yeah. Shout out to Rob's sister for getting that taken care of. That was awesome.
Yeah. So good news, if you're a fan of Rob and Sophie, they will be back on Happily Ever After. They're actually one of the two latest additions to the lineup. We will cover what happened shortly after we are done with this episode's coverage, why they were included in the upcoming 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After.
But, Happily Ever After?
Yeah. Right. Happily Ever After.
After?
Well, moving on to a couple that may not have a happily ever after. So we saw Nikki, you know, being devastated by the breakup with Justin, aka Igor, or Igor, aka Justin. Dude, that text message, you know, where he broke up with her, that's like a relationship resignation letter. It's so formal.
Yeah.
I wonder if he ran it through Google Translate or something, because it just sounds
chat
like...
ChatGPT. Yeah, right? He used that ChatGPT breakup.
He used AI to like write a text, a breakup text. Yeah, because he said, like, given the circumstances, like, dude, who breaks up that way? Like, right. Who breaks up in such a formal language like that? But really feel bad for Nikki. Yeah, especially seeing her, you know, being in her bed, didn't want to get out of it. And her mom had to come over, and I was actually more concerned, and I'm sorry, but I was actually not more concerned. I think I got a little bit curious as to, like, oh no, what happened to her cat? Because I believe she has a Bengal or a Savannah, and those type of cats, they require a lot of attention. So I wonder what happened, you know, are they being taken care of? But yeah, what do you think of this breakup, Lon?
Yeah. I know we were laughing at this text message. I want to be clear, though, I'm not laughing at Nikki's situation. I think this breakup was very sudden. Mm-hmm. I think she's valid in wondering where the hell this came from, because it did seem like they were having a good time the last time we saw them on the previous episode. And for me, the text that was sent, it doesn't quite align with their fight. And she's like, I know we had this argument and stuff, and, you know, I sent him some money and stuff like that. But the way the text was, how it was worded, AI or whatever, he ran it through, the reasonings behind it, it seemed like these were issues that he was struggling or wrestling with, and he hid them, or either that or he lied for the cameras and he just never brought them out because he mentioned something about like sacrificing or compromising my dignity and like surprising my family. And I was like, where is this coming from when, you know, it looked like everything was working out? You know, I feel really bad for Nikki to think she's under this impression that, no, we're good. Everything is fine. The family loves me and he loves me, to all of a sudden going, I compromised and sacrificed my dignity and put myself out and even surprised my family about this stuff. She's like, what the fuck? I thought we were good. So like, it's almost like he used the fight as an excuse or as an opportunity to be like, I'm over this. You know, is what it felt like to me, is that he was probably wrestling or struggling with however he felt about the relationship. He hid it for the sake of the cameras and to maybe finish the season. And then now that the cameras aren't there, he had an opening and he took it. And he was just like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So I really, really, really felt bad for her to be blindsided, I think is the word I'm looking for in this situation. He blindsided her.
Yeah. Unpopular opinion, or maybe popular opinion. I straight up think that Igor is a gold digger because the fact that he's still unemployed.
Yeah.
He wanting her to help pay for his car that broke down.
I didn't know that. He's dressed nice. He looks all right. Like he has designer, like, you know what I mean? I'm like,
scammer.
Yeah, he was even driving a nice little foreign car. I don't know what it was, but it looked nice. Leather seats and stuff. He doesn't have a job? What? What? I don't know. This was all news to me. But
like, who paid for that? Who paid for all those nice clothes and those interior in the car?
Leveled him up.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if she has been sending, you know, if she's Western Union's top customer, right? Like, can you imagine? She's actually funding his lifestyle. His life, basically, in Moldova. So, yeah, I definitely feel bad for her. And I feel angry that he did her dirty like this, you know, just because they had a nasty fight and he took this opportunity to punch down on it. Yeah, I just feel like he's an opportunist and a gold digger.
But next week, though, you saw the preview.
But that's probably because he knew he's probably going to get money from being filmed.
Right. But she was happy.
Yeah, but she broke down. She looked
happy. Oh, she did?
Yeah. On she broke down and Jasmine consoled her.
Okay. Yeah.
So
we'll talk about that next week.
Exactly. Stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned, y'all.
Shall we move on to Ashley and Manuel? Okay, whose fault is this? Is it Ashley for being a bad witch because she cannot predict the weather or can't do anything about the weather? Or is it the wedding planner that she hired that couldn't even plan around the weather, knowing that it's in Florida, a state that is known for their tropical storms and hurricane season? Like, what's up with that, bro?
You know who I blame?
The tarot cards?
The Queen of Wands upside down. She a spicy motherfucker.
Wait,
the chaotic
that.
Energy. It's the Queen of Wands upside down.
Oh, yeah, that's the cards. You notice they blurred the cards, though?
Yeah, I was like, what's up with blurring the cards out? Like, why are we censoring that?
Is that because it has the devil or the, you know, the symbol of it? I don't know what's up with TLC.
Yeah. The thing for me is that the rain can also be a romantic thing.
Blessing in some.
Yeah. Right. And you can turn it into something that's fun. One of my friends had a wedding and it didn't rain during the ceremony, but it rained during the reception. And we had a blast. Like, we didn't care. The music was going. We were partying and it rained. And I was like, okay, this is actually fun. So long as like we're not getting struck by lightning or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I thought the ceremony was nice. Everyone was drenched, though. I was looking at everyone's clothes.
And the people wearing white. So imagine drenched in white.
Yeah. For me, the highlight of their portion was when Ashley was freaking out in the car.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Yeah. And her friends was like, wait, is she crying? Wait, I thought she was, is she playing crying or is she crying? I was like, yeah, this is comedy.
That was straight up acting, I feel. No disrespect to Ashley. I'm pretty sure she was feeling some type of way. But just like, remember in the first episode when we were introduced to her, she was freaking out picking him up from the airport. Remember?
Yeah.
She had a panic attack picking him up from the airport. So I guess this is a similar situation with her where she's freaking out that she's actually going to get married.
Yeah, she's like, Pachamama gonna work how she work. It's like, Pachamama? What is that? Did I miss something? Was Pachamama mentioned any time in the season? Because I don't know who you're talking about.
No idea. I do want to also say that I know some people see Manuel as a gold digger. I don't think he is. I don't think he is.
Agree.
It's easy to label him as such. But if you think about what Ashley has done, meaning Ashley took him out of Ecuador, his home, knowing full well that he has a family and kids to support, then yeah, I think part of her responsibility is to help him send money back to support that said family. You know, if you want to take their debt away from them, something's got to give. You got to compensate for it. So I don't understand why people are saying that Manuel is a gold digger when Ashley is fine, you know, splurging on her pet care, which is great. You know, I admire her for that. But if she has money for pet care, I don't see why she couldn't contribute to taking care of his family, because she knows full well too that he cannot work while he's awaiting his work visa.
Right. I think, you know, when I use the term gold digger, it comes with the connotation of selfishness. He's not wanting money for himself. It's not that he wants money to look nice, to spend lavishly, to have the finer things. And when I used that term, I think, you know, I use it as it pertains to someone who's being selfish. They're only in it for the monetary gain. He has, like you said, you know, people depending on him and family to feed. It's not, look, I want the glow up, you know what I mean? I want to be balling or whatever have you. It's not at that at all. There's a selflessness other than a selfishness to him needing money. And it's not even needing money. It's like he's very aware of how she spends her money. And it's her money, I get it. She can spend it however she wants. But he's perceiving it a certain way because he has, you know, responsibilities and he has people he's caring for. So yeah, no, I don't see that as gold digging at all.
Yeah. I just want to, you know, obviously I'm not calling you out or anything, Lon, but like, I think I may have made the mistake, or I've seen a lot of people in the forums calling him a gold digger, and I think that's not fair. So yeah, totally understand where he's coming from. And again, I'm glad that they finally tied the knot. And they're also the other new couple that's featured in the next Happily Ever After lineup.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll be seeing more of them. More more sex in the bathroom. I know. More freak out in the car. Oh my God, I'm going to cry. Anyway, jokes aside, actually, maybe not jokes aside. What do you think of Citra and Sam finally being able to consummate their marriage?
Yeah, again, they've become my favorite couple. Yeah, what little time they had, they didn't have a lot of time on this episode, but what little time they had, they made the most of. And it was really entertaining. You know, they made some jokes about, you know, their intimacy. She tried to slide in that it was quick, and I think he played it down. He eased his way out of it.
Yeah.
You know? I had a good time watching it. And then they threw in the family stuff, like, oh, why don't you come back with us? You know, and he's like, yeah, I'm down for that. But of course, obviously, he has a court case. You know, the things I laughed about was, you know, getting it on in the laundry room. She said this on the show, but I've also started seeing it going around on social media before this episode came out. So maybe she's just really in tuned to online social media culture, but she referred to herself as a corn star.
Corn star, because she's corny. Yeah.
Right. But like also as obviously a flip or a disguise of the word. And the producer's like, a corn star? Like, Yeah, like, you know what she's getting at.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just really fun. It was cute. It had its moments. And it was a nice little way to kind of icing on the cake for them to finish the season.
Yeah, for sure. I like how he described it as there were a lot of nakedness and action. And then on her part, she said, well, the dog was trying to lick me while I was trying to lick him. I was like, okay, girl, you do you. It was funny. I think they played with it. And they're good for TV, I feel. They're a healthy couple. I like to see more of them. Unfortunately, they're not featured in Happily Ever After. Hopefully, we might see them on Pillow Talk or something, or maybe 90 Day Diaries. But this is a great couple to follow up on. And I'm not sure why all these other boring-ass, toxic-ass couples are being featured time and again, whereas people like Citra and I believe Citra is now a fan favorite after that corn star joke.
Yeah.
Sam are not being featured. So I don't know. I hope TLC would give them a second, not second chance, but give them a, you know, feature them on another 90 Day franchise, you know?
We finally get a guy who's like, or a person who's putting effort into being a Muslim. And it's like, no, there's not enough conflict, guys. You know?
Like, true.
Okay.
So on that note, Lon, what is your WTF moment?
You know, I'm giving it to Claire. There's just something about Claire's energy for me that's like homewrecker-ish. I don't think she likes Rob. She's made it clear. And then during the wedding and all that stuff, she tried to make it seem like she was happy for them. But I want to say, even on this episode, she was like asking Sophie's friend, what do you think of him? Mm. Oh, I have my reservations. I forget how she worded it. But her friend was like, I think he's great. And, you know, she's happy and I'm happy for her. I want her to be happy. And the mom was like, yeah, no, I don't. I'm just like, dude, really? On their wedding? Like,
yeah.
It's one of those where if this was like a Catholic wedding or maybe any other wedding where they're like, speak now or forever hold your peace, Claire would have been like, I don't fucking like him. You know, so there was just something about her it's making me raise an eyebrow. And then, you know, we got a taste of the trailer for the tell-all, and it looks like things have gotten worse in terms of their relationship. So we'll see more about that. Mm. What about you, Nadia?
Well, first I want to say, it just seems to me that Claire wanted something better for Sophie. And I think she's been harboring that. And maybe that's why she cannot believe that Sophie settled for Rob. My WTF moment is the fact that Citra's entire family slept in the same room.
Right. On their wedding night?
On their wedding night.
Yeah.
And even the dad felt bad. Come on. Even the dad, the strict Muslim dad, felt bad about it.
He was joking about it. I thought it was so uncomfortable. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. What was it? They said that they were afraid, right? Because they were in a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. So they thought, let's all band as a family and just, you know, spend the night together. Is that what it is? I could have missed out on the reasoning.
Leatherface was going to show up at the window.
Right,
said something like Texas Chainsaw.
Chainsaw Massacre. Right. She said that, I remember. Yeah, that was WTF to me. I felt bad that Sam and Citra didn't get their wedding night done right, but they made up for it in the laundry room. So good for them. All right, listeners, that is the end of our coverage of 90 Day Fiancé Season 10, Episode 18. And in other 90 Day Fiancé news,
bum, bum, bum.
Did you hear this, Lon? Michael ran away. He was deemed missing in action, or rather, Angela reported him missing. Turns out he was trying to escape from her. So listen to this. I know. So Michael apparently arrived in the U.S. 2 months ago. And while he was living with Angela, in, I want to say Georgia, right? She seized his passport and apparently tore it up. She seized his debit card. She smashed his phone so he couldn't have contact with his family back in Nigeria, to the point where apparently the family sent a welfare check on him at her house. And I guess he must have turned them away, the police away, because of, you know, fear that Angela might get mad. Apparently, he was put under house arrest. And recently, according to Angela, she went out for a quick errand to buy her cigarettes. She went on a ciggy run. And he took the opportunity and ran away.
Wow. Is he afraid for his life, or he's trying to get away from?
Funny you use those terms. He actually told Georgia police, I'm not sure, Hazelhurst, right? That's where she's from, Hazelhurst police, that he feared for his life. Wow. So he's basically telling the police that, hey, I'm not missing. I'm fearing for my life. So I had to run away.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think she went on Facebook Live with John Yates, that blogger, and was complaining about how, you know, as usual, this is on brand for Angela, that she's the victim, you know, obviously trying to buy our support. But it just sounds like straight up domestic abuse and someone's running away from her, you know? So that's the biggest news that recently came out of the, you know, other 90 Day Fiancé universe. But yeah, your initial thoughts, Lon?
There's no love lost here. We do not like Angela. Yeah. And I think, like you said, that's on brand. I completely believe him. I don't know what's exactly going on, but she's shown it on camera many times how verbally abusive she can be. Didn't she also like douse him with water on many countless occasions, or was that?
Oh yes, I thought,
yeah, like through drinks.
She's known for
face.
That. Not just him, his friends. Remember,
right? If this is how she acts on camera, unashamed, she's unhinged when the cameras aren't around. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
Recorded her beating the shit out of her plastic surgeon.
Ugh. Yeah, I hope that Michael is doing better. I hope he's safe. And, you know, for his sake, you know, I hope he doesn't go back.
Yeah, I think this is a PSA that if you accidentally ran into Michael, please don't report him.
Yeah.
Know that he's trying to live a normal life away from
Man at all costs.
Exactly.
Hashtag protect Michael.
Yeah, exactly. Give him some money to take a greyhound somewhere away from Georgia or something. I'm not sure where he is right now. But the fact that he went to the police, I think I'm a bit more assured that he's safe. I know some people see it as him being ungrateful because, you know, he finally got to the US and now he's trying to make his escape. I think with Angela, I can definitely see that as an exception. Not really an exception, but this is definitely an asterisk to it because it's Angela. You know, if it's anyone else, I would be like, yeah, maybe that person's ungrateful. You know, like I think about Natalie, right? She's appeared on The Single Life twice. I can definitely see her as a gold digger, someone who's trying to escape the voots, right? When she and Michael was living in the voots and she's trying to escape from it. She's trying to, like, you know, get out of their trying to get out of the marriage. I'm just trying to talk like her. Okay. Sorry. But yeah, with Michael, it's well documented how much abuse he has gone through, to the point where I think we can all no longer condone it. I hope you guys don't. Whoever's listening to this, I hope you don't condone Angela's behavior. It's not justified. The guy may have cheated on her or something, but it doesn't justify, you know, punishment doesn't suit the crime here. Is that the right way to say it? Because here's the thing. He did something wrong. I think the healthiest thing to do there is to break up with him and not ever think about it again, right? Like, just move on, go your separate ways, right? But for you to hang on to this relationship and continuously punish him for it, or continuously double down and abuse him every step of the way, including what, trashing his house. Remember, she went over to Nigeria with her so-called best friend and she trashed his car. And I get
it. I remember that. I fast-forwarded through it, but I remember it.
Yeah, I've tried to suppress those things too, but I get it. This woman supported this man financially, but I also think that it's her decision. It's her choice to do that. But I think she also wants something in return. She wants power over him. Mm-hmm. That power is absolutely corrupt. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So I can understand why he tried to make an escape from their life in Georgia. So in other news, Lon, I'm not sure if you watch this documentary on Lifetime, but it's about Wendy Williams. I don't know how much you know about her.
I know she hosts a show where she has guests. And correct. Then sometimes those clips go viral on social correct. Media. That's about it.
Correct. She also went viral for fainting live on TV during what? A Halloween episode. Yeah. So Wendy Williams, just to catch you guys up on, is this daytime host. I believe her show is on Fox, if I'm not wrong. I could be wrong. But it's always at a 10 a.m. slot for West Coast folks. So she's like a celebrity gossiper. She interviews celebrity on her show. Basically, you know, typical daytime stuff, right? Like The View, like the Kelly Clarkson show, you know, all those stuff, right? And she's been doing it for like, I want to say 14 years. And prior to that, she was a radio DJ. So she's very tight with the hip hop community, a lot of the black celebrities. But, you know, she's also a big Bravo fan. So she has a lot of those Bravo celebrities on her show. That's besides the point. She filmed this documentary recently, and not recently, I think it's been happening for like the past 2 years, and it's only airing now, like last weekend. And this is also on the cusp of the recent announcement that Wendy Williams has been diagnosed with aphasia. Is that how you pronounce it? The same thing that Bruce Willis is having right now, which is loss of memory, mental declination, basically, and early onset of dementia. So when you watch this documentary, you cannot help but feel for this woman, because she is also battling Graves' disease. She has hyperthyroidism. She's also battling alcohol addiction. All of that to be documented. Lon, you really got to watch it. Not watch it with the lens of like, okay, this is a true dumpster fire, but just to see how everything unravels. It's just, you can't help but feel for this woman, you know, even though she's not that well-liked. And I don't want to give too much away, but if you happen to have Lifetime on your cable TV, go watch it. Or, you know, watch some of those snippets on TikTok or on YouTube. It'll give you an idea of what the documentary is about. I think it's currently 4 episodes long. But
yeah. I think Hulu shares some Lifetime shows.
Yeah.
I'll look it's for on Hulu. It.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, no, nothing else from me. I recently finished watching the F1 Drive to Survive season 6, which is amazing.
I binged it too.
Oh, cool. 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 What do you think?
I think some of the, I guess, narratives, they weren't as, I guess, I don't want to say they weren't interesting. They mm-hmm. weren't as exciting.
Compelling.
But what they yep. lacked in excitement, mm-hmm. they made up for in drama mm. and tension, mm-hmm. things like that. I think they were very informative. I really liked this season because there was a lot of surprises. And it's weird because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched it, but there's definitely a lot of surprises this season. Aston Martin being one. What happens with Daniel Ricciardo? I know he's a favorite for some of y'all. There's just a lot. It's a good season. Yeah. Like I said, I think some of the narratives weren't as exciting, but it was still entertaining and still very, yeah. very, very dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had the money to hire Father Christmas. That's for sure. Yeah. Dude, the stuff that rich people do is just, man, it's another level.
It's a different world for rich, for people with money.
Yeah. Like when Christian Horner said, I'm trying to buy a horse on his phone.
What happened to your last horse? Oh, my last horse won 3 races. So he's already winning it. He's just getting more money.
Yeah. He even described his horse as like the Max Verstappen of pin to point.
Yeah,
or
the
like
Max
that.
Verstappen of horses or something. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. And I like the episode that featured Nick DeVries. I know he wasn't that likable, but seeing him clean his apartment was so satisfying to know that someone who has the same level of, I guess, obsessive cleaning habits is just nice to see. And it seems like he's self-sufficient, right? He knows that he may not have the kind of contract that a lot of people have. So he's, you know, I guess he didn't hire anyone. So he's doing everything all by himself. And then the story about Liam Lawson being the third driver for AlphaTauri was also very endearing to know that this is a young kid who just got the call to be the backup driver for Daniel Ricciardo. I just feel like Daniel Ricciardo gets a lot of second chances. I mean, good for him, but I just feel like, man, for them to say, hey, Liam did well. He even out-qualified Max Verstappen during one of those races. Mm-hmm. And he still doesn't get a seat in AlphaTauri. I'm like, huh. Like, they really love Daniel Ricciardo, I guess. Maybe because of the sponsorship that he brings. You know, like, you have to think about when drivers are hired to be on a certain team, it's also because of what they bring to the table in terms of money, right? The sponsorship. Like, right now, one of the things that didn't really age well is that, you know, we found out that Lewis Hamilton will be driving for Ferrari in the 2025 calendar year. Like, think about the money that he's going to bring into Ferrari with all the sponsorship, all the media attraction. And it's like Ferrari is already a fan favorite, right? It's one of the more popular drivers, constructor out there. But for them to add Lewis Hamilton to the lineup, fanfare.
Right. Is that going to be next season or the season after next season?
That's going to be 2025. So this year will be his final year driving for Mercedes.
Because they mention, bam, this spoiler alert, guys, if you guys don't want to hear about Lewis Hamilton.
Close your ears. Oh, fast ears. Forward.
They mention he re-signed for like 2 years. So correct. That was last year. And then this is his final year.
No.
And then
I think he broke out of his contract. If you look online, there's a lot of memes about how he said, like, I will never leave Mercedes, their family, their home. And then, boom, he signed a contract with Ferrari.
It was literally, like, I want to say a month ago or even before that, before the season aired, it was already popping up on my feed. So I was like, how is this going to integrate into this season of Drive to Survive? You know, and it didn't. And I was like, okay, yeah.
This was it was filmed a while back when he was still in contract negotiation, or maybe he re-signed with Mercedes and then something tells me that he's probably still unhappy with the car and he thought
car
okay,
was tight again. Yeah.
Yeah. Which again, if anyone's following the test drive that they had in Bahrain recently, clearly they're still not fast enough. It's still Red Bull Ferrari, you know, and I think even McLaren and Aston Martin.
So how did it do?
Well, Max is still the fastest.
Right. But I mean,
how did Mercedes do? I think Mercedes did decent. And I think it was George Russell who was faster than Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah. I mean, as a Lewis Hamilton fan, the way I justify it is George is obviously more adaptable. Like he came from Williams and Williams, you know, for lack of a better word, they were driving, you know, he was driving a shit car. And then for him to be upgraded to Mercedes, he's like, great, I can work with this. Yeah, George Russell.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is my rationale for like the reason why I'm telling myself George Russell qualifies faster than Lewis Hamilton is because he's adaptable. Like he drove a shitty car before, whereas Lewis is obviously struggling. He keeps complaining about this Mercedes car and, you know, he has valid points, but I think he's not as adaptable as George Russell. And this is me saying this as a Lewis Hamilton fan, you know, so.
That also, for me, raised an eyebrow because
throughout the season, you see Russell ahead a lot. And I'm just like, how is this? Do I have to admit to myself that he's the better driver right
now? I know. Like, that's the conundrum for like Lewis Hamilton. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's
the same car.
Yeah. It's the same car, but different engineers, different strategy, different mechanics. So they work better as a team maybe, or because I don't want to think that Lewis was assigned shitty engineers, you know, like shittier mechanics or whatever, or shittier pit crew or whatever. I like to think that he probably got the best because to me, he's driver number one in Mercedes. But the fact that George does better or did better in the last season tells me that he's probably more adaptable to the upgrades and the changes. Whereas Lewis is just, maybe it's in his head too. He's just struggling with the car. And also I think he's salty about the fact that the people in the factory didn't listen to him when he told them that, hey, it would be better if you did this and that. They were like, well, SDFU, we know what we're doing. We need to turn around and admit that, oh shit, yeah, it was not great of a car. So yeah. Anyway. All right. We've reached the end of our recording, you guys. Just want to say thank you for listening. Shout out to our fans in North America. Obviously, we have a lot of listeners from the US and Canada, but also from Turkey.
Nice.
And of course, Singapore. I bet my family members are listening to me talking. And let's see, what else? I think we have fans looking at our analytics here. We have fans, we have listeners in Australia, in United Kingdom, in Sweden, basically, you know, some of the European countries. And yeah, shout out to all of you. Thank you for listening and thank you for being patient with us. Lon, any last words?
Yeah, really to piggyback on what Nadia said, thank you so much. We appreciate everybody. This is a passion project for us and we really love to do it. We couldn't do it without you all. So thank you. Thank you again.
All right. Till next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.